Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Vampire stereotypes, ripping heads, and CGI babies. We saw Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Disconnect. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Could you know you wonder how to disconnect? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made, a very special Twilight edition. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas.
What's happening?
Unfortunately, June is not here today because she is shooting Burning Love, and she could not get out of that, but you can watch that in January, and it'll be all worth it.
But we will have to try and make up for her loss by espousing ardent feminist beliefs and believing the best of Bella.
I know, and that's the thing that I'm really bummed out about. On the way over here, I was bummed out about it. But we did bring back, as promised, Doug Benson. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, everybody.
To talk about this movie, and before we started recording, we agreed before we started talking about this movie, if you have not seen it, if you have any intention of seeing it, stop this right now, hold it on your iPod, see it, and then listen to us talk about it, because we are going to spoil it.
We're going to spoil everything.
Even if you're going to see it like as a joke, if you're going to go and laugh at it, because that's what I kind of went for, and I was pleasantly surprised plot twists that were actually interesting to me.
I would also say, go back. I kind of did too. This is
crazy but fun.
This is again. I cried at a movie that we are doing.
No,
a moment I teared up at. Moment I teared up at.
Oh my gosh!
Well, tell us when we get to it.
I will.
I didn't find it tear upable.
There was a moment where I was like, "Wait, what? Oh God!" I will say you should also go back and listen to our Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 podcast that also featured Doug on it, so that you really get the full scope of Twilight Breaking Dawn.
We have broken down these 4 hours.
We have broken down Breaking Dawn.
So, yeah, let's just start off by basically saying, I like this. Out of every Twilight movie I've seen, which is only, I think, 3 of them, I like this one.
Numero uno.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to go back and pick up the pieces that I've missed.
See, you are wrong.
They'll be bad. Bad, but it's still.
Do you not remember part one in Bahamas Fuckfest?
I do remember.
Bahamas? Oh, part one of Breaking Dawn.
Wherever they were, where they were just like, it was just about like hanging out in a vacation house and playing chess.
Come on. Look, there's a lot of moments. The slow times.
I was happy to see that their love of chess. Vampires love chess, apparently, because they play chess This time people are playing chess while other people are sitting around just watching them play chess.
And guys, did you notice that the final battle looks like a chessboard?
Yes, on white.
Guys!
I didn't even notice that!
Vampires love a game of
patience.
I was too
busy going, this is an awesome battle scene.
Yeah, the battle scene was amazing.
If in the first movie they had said 5 movies later there's going to be an awesome battle scene that you'll appreciate even more if you sit through the first 4 hours, I might have been more enthusiastic about the first.
Are you kidding? Those movies are terrible. Yeah, the first half of this movie is literally garbage.
Oh, I enjoyed a lot
of it. It's really fun garbage.
I laughed out loud so much in the second half of this movie. But basically, it's still, I mean, we're jumping into it. So we can say.
Let's just go.
Yeah, we'll just go.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
There's a baby.
Lots of spoilers.
Okay, this fucking
and ripped
baby.
Off heads.
This baby in this movie. Is like a CGI baby. I don't understand why. I thought it was like the E-Trade baby.
I think I figured out why.
Okay.
Okay, because I was flummoxed. I was like, why is the baby CGI?
I mean, at every level, even as a newborn.
A baby, a newborn to toddler to it finally becomes a real baby when she settles in at about 7 years old.
Yes.
Right? Okay, what I think they did was they CGI'd.
It's finally a real baby when she's CGI'd, seven.
Yes, exactly. It's a real actress. They CGI'd her to look like that child actress. So they CGI'd the baby and the toddler baby to look like that little girl.
Well, now you see, I had
which
that.
Which is bananas.
Because I had that thought and I thought, do they have an actual baby on set and they put like a little green bag over a baby's head?
I think they did.
Because they really had a baby.
They could have just held. I mean, the whole thing could be fake.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
You think there's a
did
real,
they have
no,
real
no, no,
wolves
no.
on the set?
Because I looked at it. Rob Pattinson is holding. A baby. He's clearly holding a baby.
He's clearly got a baby's genitals in his hands.
He does. He's in that scene where he walks in, he introduces the baby to Not Quite Tom Skerritt, and he says, hey, Not Quite Tom Skerritt, here is our baby, and he's clearly holding a baby. I was like, that's definitely a baby he's holding, except that the face is CGI, is creepy.
I'll tell you why it's CGI, though.
Okay,
because the baby, like, they can't get that kind of acting out of a baby. The baby
wasn't doing anything.
The baby wasn't doing anything.
Seriously, the baby's like very intently staring at whatever person it's dealing with.
Okay.
And then that weird thing it does, and then she keeps doing it. We should say that we end the movie sound crazy already.
Yeah.
When you're a half vampire, half human baby, apparently you totally fucking Benjamin Button, and
it was
age really quick.
Yes.
Here's another, just talking about CGI, I watched some stuff online last night. This movie-
Porno?
Yes.
Was it porn?
A lot of porno. I watched the B-Reel footage of this movie like on the Twilight page.
Wait, the B-Reel?
What is it called? B-Reel,
B-Roll?
Right? B-Roll, sorry.
B-Reel isn't B-Reel an act, a rapper.
Yeah, B-Reel from Cypress Hill narrating clips just from Twilight.
So I watched B-Roll footage of Twilight. Now this movie is arguably
Insane in the membrane.
Yeah, this movie is arguably one of the most successful films. Makes so much money. The CGI looks so
it's garbage.
It's it's not good. It's clearly a rush job.
I believe they are like, it does not matter. These kids will come.
The director
it doesn't
is
have
not
to look great.
David Fincher, who is all about making it look
authenticity
amazing.
And seamlessness.
But then I started to realize on the B-roll footage that everything is CGI.
Yep.
Like when they're in the house.
That's
not a real house. It's the snow is CGI. Everything
that
you
even stood around on green screens.
Yeah,
everywhere is between 3 and 14 people standing in front of green screen is what this entire movie is.
If you look at this B-roll footage, you'll be like, this is the most unimpressive, sad thing. It looks like a community theater production because the costumes look way worse in front of a green screen. Everybody looks worse. We should start a little bit from the top.
Do we need to recap?
We don't need to recap.
Plot-wise?
I just want to talk about moments.
There's so many little amazing moments in the beginning.
Oh, my God.
First of all, just the fact that they have to stand around saying Renesmee over and over again. That's the kid's name.
I could not. I kept trying to make a note of the kid's name. And I was like, what are they saying?
I'll never be able to say Renesmee, I thought. Because it's a hard name to remember. Why was it even named Renesmee?
Why was it even named Renesmee?
It is an it because it has human, half vampire. Not real.
Because there's someone, because I saw this in the end credits,
okay,
which are awesome, awesome end credits.
Yes, oh my God.
End credits.
It's they like, are like just
the opening titles of a soap opera. Yes. It's slow motion shots of each character.
Exactly.
All the way back to the first
like,
movie.
Like a telenovela.
People that had two lines. Yes. A girl that never had a line was only in the last movie is featured in that part.
You see the whole scope.
It's like in memoriam. I was wishing the audience that I saw was in the same theater with Paul, but we sat away from each other.
Yes.
So we're not like,
by the way,
two guys
dudes,
going to see this together with no
three
women.
Three dudes all sitting by themselves at Twilight screenings on opening weekend. Super creepy. Yeah. I had a notepad in front of me too, like a scribbling.
Yeah, I'm scribbling down notes on a piece of paper.
I tried to get into the theater and it had already started, but at the Arclight they were like, well, we don't really let people in. I was like, well, I'm reviewing it for a podcast. And I so
and they
like,
said okay.
Then they let me in. But I was like, this is hilarious. Like, I am now being like, I am the single man trying to see a noon showing of Twilight Breaking Dawn and have to explain myself.
Oh my God.
That one we were at last night, there was there was no young teenage girls to speak of.
No, but there was a lot of
you
like,
sound disappointed.
Where were the teenage girls I was promised?
There were a lot of women.
Why do you
there
think
were a lot
I agreed
of women.
To this?
I feel like that the Sunday night screening was a lot more of like 30-year-old women.
Oh, right? And a lot of... Are you doing the ribbing each other the whole time?
Oh,
because there were some good laughs in there.
Yeah. Yes, there were some good laughs.
I think I got a laugh because I laughed so hard at one point.
I laughed so hard at the end. The one thing I want to point out in the beginning is, you know, obviously Bella, when we last left her, was turned into a vampire. So now we're seeing her and she looks beautiful and, you know, she's right there and, you know, she's like, has this power, super hugs. She can give really strong hugs.
Did she get in time? Yeah. So she goes to hug Robert Pattinson and it does that whoomp noise they do whenever they move around fast.
Yeah.
It does the whoomp noise and then he's like, oh, you're stronger than me now, Bella. Please let go.
It's awesome, by the way,
Bella is finally, you know, in control. Like, it's so bad.
Power.
It's terrible that June isn't here.
I would love that. I love that impression because it's basically Edward as Droopy Dog.
Please don't hug me.
You're so strong, Bella.
We can't let you hold Renesmee.
But I do.
You'll squeeze her to death.
I just love that that's how her first moment of power is just power hugs.
But, when she tries to sit in the chair, they're like, why don't you just go sit in the chair? And she like, she speeds over and knocks the chair down. And it's like,
boom. Does everyone in this movie, these vampires
are
running.
But they slowly walk across the snow.
By the way.
They have to take airplane flights and they have to drive in cars.
Like they could have made.
What are they doing?
They could have done so much. If they just ran to Brazil, ran to Alaska, they drive and fly everywhere that they simply don't need to.
They can go so quickly. And also my big issue is, why are they needing, like, Edward is wearing, like, at one point, like, a winter jacket and, like, a turtleneck. I was like,
yeah, they always have tons of clothes on.
Why do you have to wear all these clothes?
Yeah.
They try to imply that Alice is a real, you know, fashionista,
I buy it for her,
clothes horse. Yeah, but they, like, push it on everybody because they're all quite fashionable.
Edward's wearing, like, is wearing a pea coat and a turtleneck.
They always look natty.
They are fantastically dressed. I'll be honest. Like, I would take the entire wardrobe from the Alistair character. The guy that stands up in the tree.
Yes,
the guy who's like, you guys are fucked, basically.
Yes.
Who then disappears and never comes back.
Yeah, Alistair.
I thought he was
going to
Han Solo that.
Nope, no.
I thought he was going to, like, he leaves, like, you guys are fucked, he walks away, and I full-blown expected he was going to arrive Han Solo and save the day. Nope, never heard from him again.
That's the good thing about this movie.
People are disposable.
But they don't need a Han Solo.
Yeah.
They don't.
With the plot twist that occurs.
Oh, I love this plot twist. We'll get to it. The other thing I wanted to talk about at the beginning, which you may have missed, Jason, too, was literally her, I said literally, I already broke it. Basically, Bella and Edward.
I've said literally already five times.
Oh, good. Bella and Edward, like, are hugging, and she's like, oh, you know, you're a vampire, we're vampires. And he goes, oh, well, now we gotta get your thirst under control. And it's as if on cue, she touches her throat, and she's like, oh, yeah.
That reminds me. Yeah, I am thirsty for blood.
It was crazy. Like,
I was thirsty for hugs, and now I've quickly transitioned into thirsty for blood. And so she goes running. She goes running out. She goes running out into the forest, right?
Yes. And
with him in her instead, he comes with her.
And now I don't understand why they need to, like, stalk animals. They're fucking super fast. Just fucking speed over, kill a deer. But they're like, hunting like hunters on a Discovery Channel show. Like, they're, like, creeping around rocks and looking at the deer. It's like, come on, man. Just fucking power through it.
I firmly believe that if they did everything in this movie as fast as they are capable of doing things, the movie would be 40 minutes long.
It'd be so over. There's
the movie
so
would be
much
instantaneously over because there is
so much slow walking across the snowy field.
Totally. There is
a scene.
They
just cruise across it so slow.
There is a scene where she drives to Seattle to meet Bunk
the
from
wire,
The Wire.
The Wire.
The Wire.
To meet
so
Bunk
psyched.
From The Wire. That is, there's nothing that happens in this scene. She has to drive, walk, sit, drive again. Like, they're making a meal out of the littlest things just to pad this movie.
And it's so funny, though, when Bunk, he has that one scene, and then when he shows up in the end titles, it's the weirdest, like, oh, there's one black guy in the entire Twilight series, and he had one scene in the last movie.
Don't forget about the two African tribesmen,
the tribal girls.
Oh, okay.
The tribal girls in, like, Amazonian garb. The wardrobing for all, it's basically United Colors of Benetton.
Yes.
As a Twilight movie. It's like every minority is represented. Every country and culture is represented.
In the most stereotypical fashion.
Yes, in the most stereotypical garb for whatever country they're from. Like when they are Amazonian princesses show up, they are in crazy fucking native garb.
Native American loincloth fucking classic style.
He does the Han Solo at the end.
Oh, he
kind
does
of.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah. He's wearing nothing.
It's
and
ridiculous.
He's walking across the snow.
Why? What the fuck is happening?
Why can't they all just wear nothing?
Shorts and t-shirts?
They just love wearing pants and jackets.
Oh my God.
Talking about pants and jackets and things that are useless.
Kellan Lutz?
Who is Kellan Lutz? I know that people talk about him. Who is he playing?
He's the big bulky guy.
That's dark hair?
Yes, that's Kellan Lutz.
Yeah, there's that commercial.
Looks so different.
There's that commercial where they're trying to outdo each other, two guys, and they keep getting things for this girl to get her to impress her, and the one guy gets her Kellan Lutz, and then he moves in on it, and that's the gag at the end of the commercial is Kellan Lutz is gonna score with his lady now, and and every time I saw that commercial, I was like, oh, he must be like some athlete or something.
Yeah.
Or,
Twilight.
He's in the Twilight movies. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I like
he's Emmett. Hi, I'm Emmett. And why does he have to have big Bella when she's now that she's a vampire is super crazy strong and can beat him?
Oh yeah,
can beat Emmett in arm wrestling on a rock, and then she smashes the rock.
That's what I was gonna ask. Was there something
why does he
in the
have
beginning?
To have big muscles?
Was there something in the beginning that I missed, which is why she is so much instantly stronger than everybody?
You know what?
Because she's new.
So she still has like all the height.
Is that
of
why
power?
She and Edward have like a bone zone?
Okay,
like,
let's talk about
sex
this
marathon.
They have this sex marathon that she says, you know, they finally are both able to really
have sex. Yeah.
It is the most slow-paced, like, sex scene that you will ever
and
see.
Yeah, it's not two people that are capable of tearing each other limb from limb. It's just tender.
They rip each other's shirts.
Cinemax style.
They rip each other's shirts, but then it is tender love.
He rips her shirt in the back. He rips her shirt in the back.
Yeah.
Because that's what dudes do. I can't wait to get to that back.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get my hands on her naked back.
I want to see her. I want to rip her clothes open for a part of her body that I cannot see.
He can't see. He couldn't see it even if there was a mirror in the room.
Exactly.
Which she couldn't use.
Because they're vampires.
It doesn't matter. Mirrors
are there
are
any
irrelevant.
Mirrors in the house?
No.
Why would there be? They're vampires.
The fuck house?
Why have couches and beds?
Let's even go back a second.
They don't have to sleep or sit down.
That's what she says. She says, why do we need
why
our
we need
bedroom?
He goes, it's not for
sleeping.
It's for fucking while our baby's in the other room.
Exactly.
And basically, they go on, like, they basically talk about how vampires will fuck for days, even decades.
Yeah.
They will just fuck. And then she's like, I knew you were holding back. It's like, really? It looked like it was slow and steady.
What I thought was really fascinating about, I felt like in order to have their crazy sex scene.
Yeah.
They had to, and again, Bella is like 18 years old.
Sure.
You know, Bella is in this narrative, like an 18-year-old
person. 19-ish, yeah.
So,
she turned 18 in the last movie, so this is now 19 because she had
a birthday. They have to constantly show, like, every fifth shot in the sex scene is of them and their wedding rings.
Ah.
Is their hands intertwined with their wedding rings. So they're constantly, while they're showing you sex, they're saying, but it's marriage. It's in marriage. Like, it's, there's such a weird, you know, like the books are super Mormon and Christian.
By the way, did you know that the first public sighting of Mitt Romney was at the Twilight screening this weekend?
Really?
Yeah, someone caught him and his wife.
Why would he go see that? Why would they go see
in
that?
In L.A., he was in L.A. seeing Twilight.
What?
It was on TMZ.
That would be the best celebrity sighting ever.
Mitt Romney at the
Twilight. Secret Service anymore.
None.
Sorry, we don't have to go sit through your shitty taste in movies.
That's what he wants to see. He could have seen Argo. He could have seen Skyfall. He saw Twilight.
Maybe he heard how wholesome it was, but that's what's amazing to me is that it got the PG-13. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So the sex scene is like there's no nudity.
And there's no blood.
And you see in talk shows, Kristen Stewart and what's his name?
Our Pats,
they complain about, like, you know, we would have gone for it, but it's got to be PG-13, so you got to position everything just right. They have those kind of talks on TV.
A hardcore fuck movie, those
two. But it's amazing that they go to all that trouble to get the PG-13 on that front, but then on the violence front, you can have a gazillion decapitations.
You can have this movie, the violence
upwards
in this movie
of 15 people's, like, heads get ripped off.
Maybe Mitt Romney heard that part of it. Maybe he heard how violent it was, because I was digging how violent it is.
I was laughing because I felt so joyous. It's like, I haven't seen a movie this violent in forever.
It was
so callous.
Crazy violent.
But but they're all monsters.
Yes.
Yes.
They're all not people.
They were people.
Except for when they kill people.
Yeah.
Except for when they kill people. And you're like, these are our, like, Lee Pace is introduced as, like, one of the good guys.
Yeah.
He is introduced while he is killing a human.
Yeah. Just like, he's just killing a dude for whistling a British song.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just like, I hated the British invasion. Roar! Like, and then they're like, hey, you got to come help us with this, with these other bad vampires. And he's like, I will help you, but first let me finish my meal. And then he eats that fucking guy.
Can I just, I want to go
and
back.
And he's a good guy.
Good guy. He's a, hey, look, he's a vampire. He doesn't have his thirst under control.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice. Plus, visit your in-laws. Plus, venture into the wilderness. Plus, wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick plus Mean Girls plus Jack Reacher plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas plus free delivery plus Paramount Plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie cutter places, and I went on Airbnb and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Here's the one thing I do want to talk about. Where Bella and Edward are waiting at their house.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden, all the vampires come walking in, and they go, oh, finally. And now, am I to believe that these vampires built them a fuck house? Like, I mean, they built them a house.
They have a house that they immediately, as soon as they get the house, that's full of, the closet is full of clothes.
Yes.
That's for the teenage girl.
Yeah, shelves are clothes born. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
The books, though, the books pay off.
The books do pay off.
The books pay off.
But, I mean, but they built that house? I mean, I don't understand. Like, they built that
house. We got you a house out here in the woods that looks beautiful and it's right near where everybody else lives.
And then, but now here's the thing that I was most confused about. They go there. They have their fuck session. They come back the next day and they go, okay, so we're leaving
town.
Yeah,
we got to get out of town.
Wait, why did they build that house then? Yeah. They basically built it
everyone is so excited
for a one-night stand.
Yeah, just give them one of the rooms in the house you already have.
And now,
give them a hotel room.
So now, that's one of the crazy things about this movie is then they're like, okay, so we got to get out of town because we have to tell everybody that Belle is dead.
Yeah.
And then Jacob is just like, all right, leaves the house, goes to not quite Tom Skerritt, and is like, hey, Belle is still alive, blah, blah, blah. There's a daughter,
Wait, wait, this is the best scene in the whole movie. This is the best scene in the whole movie.
It happened so early on. It's so nuts.
Okay, so
early.
Taylor
First
Lautner.
Of all, just so you know, this is just before we get into it, the last time we saw Taylor Lautner's character, he imprinted with Renesmee, and which basically means that he has to be with her 24/7. He's like a bodyguard.
Yeah, he basically the baby belongs to him in some weird
way. So he is now in this weird
three-way. Why aren't all the other wolves in the movie? Why don't they have some child that they're near all the time or person that they're near all the time?
They may have imprinted
on another
wolf.
You can imprint and then part-time imprint or
I think that he just imprinted with the wrong person. He should have imprinted with
an animal. He accidentally imprinted with a baby.
But I don't want to distract us from this amazing
scene. It's really good.
So in order to not have Bella have to leave.
Yes.
This is such a bitch move that he pulls.
Oh, yes. Taylor Lautner.
I hate his character.
Oh, my God. He's the worst. Taylor Lautner rides his... He is literally the worst. Ugh. He is a pile of garbage in this movie.
Yeah, yes. Every step of the way, he's always saying something snotty or smirky or bitchy or...
Vampire.
What are we doing? We're sitting around telling battle stories?
Yeah.
I was like, you've never been in battle, you dumb dildo. Like, what are you talking
about?
But
how great was it when Bella just beat the shit out of him?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
But I found him
kind of they treat him like he's the comedic voice of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all the funny
hilarious.
And it's just like, shut up. You don't even belong here. Like, okay, say this part because I got more later than
so. He's like, because they're going to tell not Tom Skerritt that Bella is dead.
Bella is dead.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to say Bella is dead because not Tom Skerritt knew that she was sick from breaking down part one.
He doesn't understand
he doesn't know anything about vampires. Yes. He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know shit.
He doesn't know
jack shit. He doesn't even know that she was pregnant.
Right.
And Jacob's like, he doesn't want her to leave town.
Right. Yes. So Jacob goes to Tom Skerritt and says, listen, Bella's fine, but she had to change in order to be fine. And not Tom Skerritt's like, I don't know what you mean. And he's like, you don't understand the world you're living in. At which point, Jacob starts to disrobe.
I wrote down that exact sentence. You don't understand the world you're living in. Because I lost my mind in the theater when he said that laughing.
I did too.
It was amazing.
Because he's taking his clothes off
then
while he's saying it.
Slowly takes off his shirt. Everyone in the theater goes nuts because you got to see those abs.
Oh,
God. And he's like, and then at first, not Tom Skerritt's like, whoa, hey, what's happening here, man?
The only assumption is that something gay is happening. Like, the only way not Tom Skerritt can process this series of events is, Jacob, who I've known since he was a boy, is about to try and have sex with me.
Wait a second. I have to say that Jacob did not do a good job of, like, saying, hey, I'm not going to rape you, not Tom Skerritt. He kind of was seductive and taking off his clothes.
Yeah, he's like, I got something for you, buddy, that you are going to really
and then he pulls down his pants and
here's the thing, he turns into a wolf when he's wearing pants all the time.
Yes.
Why does he have to get completely naked this time?
The one time. The rest
the
of the movie,
he's
whenever he switches, clothes are gone instantly.
And meanwhile,
and this time he pulls the pants down to his ankles.
Yes.
And it's not a wolf with pants around his ankles when he turns into the wolf. It's a wolf. Yeah.
He's
no pants.
He's still gonna rip those pants. I'm gonna say that not Tom Skerritt. At first, he's like, oh, come on.
Billy Burke is
Billy Burke. He's like, come on, man. Come on, man.
He'll always be not Tom Skerritt to me.
He's like, come on, man. What are you doing? And then, he stops protesting a little bit, and he's like, all right, what do you got?
Where's
this
going?
All right, I'm in. Like, wait a second. Like, he stopped protesting pretty early on when the pants came down. He's like, all right, well, I'm in for this.
And then Jacob turns into a wolf in front of him, and he is, to say not really that impressed. Like, not he's
scared. He's down on the ground. But then they cut immediately
to the house.
Jacob back with Bella and Edward going, yeah, I just told him you were different now.
Yeah, and he's coming
That's
over.
That's the explanation.
And he'll be here in 10 minutes.
She disappeared for a while. She, you know,
and by the
may
way,
or may not have had a baby.
And by the way, what was his plan? His plan was, she's different. She's not like me. I'm a werewolf, but she's different.
She's another thing. That you don't have to worry yourself about.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned at all for another waking moment of your
about
goddamn
your
18-year-old life.
Daughter.
About your 18-year-old daughter who just married a pale weirdo and like vanished for a little while and you thought she might be dead. And when the guy and when Jacob shows up, he's like, oh no, this is it. He's come to tell me that he's dead. And then he starts taking his pants off without having told him what's going on with his daughter.
But then he turns into a wolf.
Yes.
Wait, guys. He then, okay. The
and
minute
he's the sheriff, right?
The minute Tom Skerritt is like,
not
the
Tom Skerritt is the sheriff.
The minute not Tom Skerritt is like, okay, my daughter's okay. Everything should be trumped by the fact that kid just turned into a wolf.
I want to go
at that
like,
point. Your world is destroyed. What are you talking about?
And the rest
he turns into a wolf.
He goes on
the
a
the rest of the movie.
Trip.
Is like there's something up with all these other people.
Yeah, he's not overly concerned because I feel like there was a scene cut out where like he turns into
there
a wolf.
Had to
they
be.
Have that thing, and then they Taylor Lautner and him have coffee. And he's like, what the fuck?
Because they. So later on in the movie, when the daughter's rapidly aging, they bring her over to visit, and he doesn't even say the typical thing that a grandfather would say, like, oh, you're growing so fast, or anything. He's just like, well, looks like she aged a few years in a couple of days.
He's like, and then
he doesn't even comment on it. There's got to be missing scenes. There has to be.
No,
he
is know what it is? It's all covered. I think it's all covered by her saying, Bella saying, there are things you don't need to know. But I'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
So he kind of has a couple
of
lines.
I need to know with his daughter.
I guess I don't need to know about this. About why the girl's eyes look like Bella's eyes.
And why it's a crazy special effects baby.
I feel like Billy Bush should just turn to the camera and just go, all right.
Billy,
like
he kind of does.
Oh, Billy
Burke. His character
I would like it if it was Billy Bush.
Oh, by the way, I do want to say that I think he's just a bad father in general.
Oh,
because,
boy.
Because at one
taking
point.
Taking him to task.
They take him to task because they go, your father's worried about you. He's been calling twice a day.
Yeah.
If your daughter was missing for arguably like over 2 weeks like, and you're the sheriff of the town, just two phone calls.
Just
call those
drive
weirdos
over.
Again.
How give about a, drive there?
No, I'm going to give him a call in the morning, a call at night. Just check
it. It is, I find
He's the sheriff of the town, and his daughter's missing. He just makes a couple calls. Yeah.
Just not even a couple.
To
just
cell phone.
Two a day. Just
I find
two
it
a day
so strange to me
he
that
me a
he
text.
So easily allows for her to not just be taken away from him.
She's 18.
But like she is legitimately subsumed into this family, and he is cut out. Like, the lessons of this movie are so bizarre and anti-family, while being so pro-family about, like, the Cullens and the vampire family.
Yeah.
But it is about the destruction of the nuclear family, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy how much Bella's mother and father are marginalized so she can be robbed of her human soul and turned into an immortal monster by the people that were supposed to be like, that's a real family.
By the way, she doesn't have any care to tell her mom that she's changed either. I know her mom's in a different spot.
Wait, was her mom in this movie at all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
She doesn't even mention it.
She's
like,
in
oh,
the end
she,
credits.
She, oh, yeah, she's in the
she
end
is
credits.
In the end, well, that's why I asked. I was like, was there a scene early on with the mom?
No.
No, not Tom Skerritt's. You know, he's shacked up with...
With that
other woman.
The Native American lady.
Who's not a wolf? Is she a wolf or not a wolf?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Is not Tom Skerritt with not a wolf?
I think women are not wolves in this world, right?
I can't believe not Tom Skerritt's girlfriend didn't tell him about the wolf thing.
Well, no, but I don't think that she knows.
But she'd at least know that,
she knows that
there's
the
wolves
half
in the
of
neighborhood.
Her, she must know that her other
maybe
tribesmen
that's it.
Are wolves.
Maybe she just explained it to him, like, he's a wolf.
Hey,
and don't worry about what Belle is. She looks fine.
She's probably like, a vampire.
She gives nice, strong hugs now.
By the way, Tom Skerritt is never told she's a vampire.
No.
Never.
No, she's just something different.
And also, they do a terrible job of storytelling in this movie because Bella at one point is like, if he knows, then the Volturi will come for him. And I was like, ooh, I bet that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well,
Volturi
come for
Charlie.
Well, you know why? Because they sent him on a 5-day fishing trip. They can't come
for
him.
Oh, right.
They can't figure it
God.
Out. They can't figure out that he's on this 5-day fishing trip. Hey, get out of town when all the vampires come here to go crazy.
All right. It's so, this movie, we're making it sound even crazier because we're jumping around so much.
No, yeah. It is this crazy.
It is this crazy. But we're switching the order around.
We are moving. I don't mind.
Can we talk about Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones baby? That whole sequence where...
So oh, my God.
Yes.
So Bella has this baby, and the Volturi think that the
baby... Okay, the Volturi are the bad guys. They're Mark
and
Sheen.
It's called Volturi. And
oh,
they
Volturi,
think-
sorry. Voltroni, B-rolls.
And they think...
B-reels.
They think that this baby is immortal.
An immortal child.
Yeah. They just assume that he turned Bella first and then had the child. Even though this guy, Arrow, can sit around and know everything that's happening with everybody's mind all over the world, he still has these misconceptions.
Yeah. By the way, which can be cleared up with a phone call.
Yeah.
Or a hand touch.
Hey, hey.
Or anything.
I heard you guys... Do you guys have an immortal child over there? Nope, we don't. Okay, cool.
Great. I was going to kind of round up all the vampires and come and attack you. Okay, we'll do that. All right,
okay, but the explanation of an immortal child is just a toddler that has turned into a vampire, and because the toddler has no
sense
of... It's just a toddler. It's just hungry
no
for
sense
blood.
Of anything.
Yeah.
They are just killing machines.
Which basically blows out of the water the whole Kristen Dunst interview with a vampire thing, because remember, you know, she was so young and lovely, and she was a vampire, but they're saying the kids can't handle it in this
movie. Yeah,
she won an Academy Award for that.
No, she didn't.
Didn't she?
No. And then, she might have been nominated. But then,
I think she was nominated for an Academy Award for that role.
Because they never say, you never see Academy Award winner Kristen Dunst.
Yeah, that's true.
But but then when this happens with the child...
Did you see it for Anna Paquin, though? She won. She made for the piano.
Yeah, if you saw her in a movie, like when
they say
Fly Away Home came out, they probably said Academy Award winner.
They take it away from you after you turn 20. If you get it when you're a kid,
that's
it doesn't
true.
Count anymore.
Yeah, it reboots.
You kind of fell into it.
Sorry, Doug, go ahead.
That's okay. I don't know what I was talking about.
We're talking about the Game of Thrones, the baby.
Oh, yeah. So when a baby is terrorizing its village, which that's a crazy awesome concept to me.
I love that.
That the baby could terrorize the village, then they just have to destroy vampire babies.
One of the only blood scenes, one of the only scenes that has blood in this movie is actually really effective, which is like a shot that cranes down on just fire and like bodies in its medieval village.
All the bodies this baby has killed.
And then a baby, like a child, like a 2-year-old comes into frame, like a little blonde boy with big eyes and blood around his mouth. And I was like, ooh, that's great.
Yeah, and then they kill his mother.
Yep.
And then they kill him.
And they
set him on fire. But also,
by the way,
he's killed all these people, but during the whole scene where they're arguing about what to do with him, he's just being held by somebody in their arms.
Dakota Fanning.
And he's like just sitting there, not doing anything. Like they're talking about killing him.
Because he doesn't get it. That's the whole problem with the baby. They just want blood.
Oh, he's probably full.
Yeah, he's full.
He's probably full at that moment.
Well,
he's
not going to attack the vampires. He's not going to feed on vampires.
Well, that's true.
You
think he'd still be physically out of control and not easy to just stand around and hold debating his future.
When Bella smelt that hiker who was hiking up the mountain, which you did not see, Jason, she went from going to attack a deer to running across the woods, running up a mountain and almost killing this hiker. And then she decides, all right, I'm not going
to do it. Yeah, so later in the movie when that chasm is suddenly created and the wolves and the vampires are falling into it, they've set up that these are characters that can leap and climb and fly.
Yes.
And yet, oh no, we're falling into a hole.
Yep.
We're falling into this chasm.
We can't get out of this.
I mean, when the rocks fell down on top, that was like, okay, that could kill them. Sure.
That's why, I mean, Jacob at least was able to claw onto the side a little bit.
I also didn't understand why in previous movies, it's, you know, everybody's a vampire or everybody's a werewolf, and then Ashley Green, what's her name? Alice?
Yeah.
Alice has, like,
premonition. They all have to have an extra power.
But now,
immortal and fast and strong,
in this movie, they are all superheroes.
They all have.
There's like a girl who has electricity out of her hands. There's a guy that has black fog.
It's like Stephanie Meyer saw X-Men.
Yes, that's exactly
right before writing this last part.
It is totally pale X-Men.
That's exactly what it is. I could not. I was like, why do they all have superpowers now?
Oh, and some of the superpowers, I almost want to jump to the end because we're talking about superpowers. Bella's superpower at the very, very end is scrapbooking.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, she can touch her hand and do a little scrapbook.
Mental scrapbooking or mental montaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love that's her power, a mental montage.
And he goes, how did you do that? And she goes, practice.
Yeah.
What?
I just took clips from each of the films.
She's like, it's mostly Final Cut Pro.
But I'm glad to know that in the scene with the baby, the toddler,
yes.
I'm glad to know that you can tear the head off of a toddler and set him on fire and still get a PG-13.
Right?
Nice work, yeah. Motion Picture Association.
By the way,
a baby's head is ripped off
of the baby.
This movie is PG-13. There is...
And they throw him onto the pile of bodies of people that he killed.
Sex scene. There is a shot where Bella is clearly orgasming in this movie.
Yes.
Where she is orgasming. And then, not 10 minutes later, a baby's head is ripped off of its body. PG-13.
Yeah, I have a problem with the second part much more than the first part.
The decapitation... I don't know if that was set up in the other movies, but holy shit, they go to that well a million times. So much so that at one point, when they're having like one of their final fights, I won't talk about it too much, but it's like they're really trying to like that pull that head off, like, this is a tough one.
Exactly.
This is a tough head to get off.
Yeah.
Some heads are easier than others to get off.
Oh, some just pop right off, but some you really have to work at.
Some are like there was literally like Bella's on one guy's head, and Jacob's like kicking him in the stomach, like, let's get this head loose, let's get it loose.
It is, there are so many, and there's also, it's not just decapitations. They rip, two guys rip the arms off.
Arms
and then
get ripped
one
off,
one person rips the head off, and then they light you on fire. I also don't remember from past movies that just lighting a vampire on fire kills them.
Well, I think that they need to...
I think you have to remove the head and first? Light them on fire.
Oh, okay.
I think to do both.
I would like to see someone, please, if you're out there and you had this Get Made fan, take Protect Your Neck, the Wu-Tang song, and then mash it up with the vampires getting their heads ripped off.
That's pretty good.
That's why I understand it now.
But when you think, I've seen, nine decapitations, is this next one, is there going to be another one?
Yeah.
Then that one girl grabs the grabs the dude by inside his mouth and just tears off the top part of his face.
Yes.
It was great.
It's so violent.
There is.
Violent.
But that guy's a monster, so you can do that to him.
So basically,
that's why zombie movies, zombies can be so violent.
True. Yeah.
If you want to check in on plot. So basically, they have this immortal baby. The bad guys are coming from them, and Bella and Edward are basically.
Because they want to kill the baby.
Exactly.
And the bad guys are going to come. It's been determined by, I don't know why, when the snow is sticky is when they say they're going
to
come.
Why would that be when they come? Everybody seems to know exactly what day that is.
Because Pattinson and Arrow, the good guy and the bad guy, are both sort of... mentalists, so they both kind of know what the other person's move is going to be.
But is that
another chess reference?
But is that true? Is our Pat's like? What is
he
his
says
power?
At one point? He says, they're going to probably try to take me out first, or he says something about how they're going to know that I'm going to know what they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have to take me out first.
But here's
like that.
The big issue that I have: Michael Shannon, super powerful, super
Sheen.
Michael, he's super powerful.
Ooh, I would have loved it if it was Michael Shannon.
He would be great. Can't wait for him.
Sheen's pretty good.
Michael Sheen is great in this.
He's better than most Bond villains in this.
He's really good, and he has like it's the perfect mix of like Darth Vader. There's a total Darth Vader element, and then that beat where they bring the daughter to him and he giggles.
Yeah.
I can hear her strange heart beating. I was like, ooh, that's creepy.
So I felt like he was like, I'm going to just do this, and no one told me to do that, and I kept it. I was so psyched.
I thought
that
was a great moment.
And then also when he was doing fast running, I like that too. Yeah. I like a fast Michael,
thought he could have been a better fast runner in Midnight in Paris. I would have liked it.
I liked when the one... I liked when the one guy went, vampires, the werewolf said, vampires werewolves are our mortal enemy.
Yeah.
And then, Michael Sheen, our Arrow, looks at him and kind of does like the, thing with his finger and his thumb where it's just like, just a little less of that. Yeah. Like that's,
take it down a notch.
But it's almost like he's saying, this isn't Underworld. this is the Twilight movies.
This isn't Rise of the Lycans.
Those movies, they can't stop and talk to each other about their problems, but here we're going to settle it with words.
This is also a very bad werewolf vampire franchise, but it's not Underworld.
Guys, relax. We got it under control. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me, in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself, and therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers.
All right, so
what was that commercial for? Mountain Dew?
Yes. Oh, Mountain Dew.
I hope it was for Mountain Dew.
The show. I was going to say with Michael Shannon, why didn't he just... Oh, Sheen. Sorry. Michael Sheen. Why didn't he just come right away? The minute he found out about it, he could just run across the country and just...
We'll do it when the snow is sticky.
Because he had to give them time
to
go all over the world and assemble the United Colors of Benetton witnesses slash warriors.
By the way, some of these people are like Hunger Game rejects, too.
Yes, yes.
Like, I felt like they're like, oh, yeah, we got to have the kids who look like Jennifer Lawrence from the Hunger Games. Get them in there. That's fine.
We got to have two. And it's like two people from every country.
Yes.
Two people from every color, except for Asians. No Asian
vampire.
Except for that one guy who can kill him quick.
Yeah.
Get rid of that Asian guy, because we don't want Asians in our collective of warriors.
Oh my god!
And the Russian dudes blew my mind. I was like,
those guys. I wrote down at one point Vladimir and Stefan exclamation point. I was so excited about them.
I love them.
And even at the end of the movie, when it's a happy ending, they're just kind of like, no, you guys, we still got to fucking fight these people someday. and then they just run off into the woods.
But they also say like, we've got to fight these people, and their voices are insane.
Yeah, it's very funny every time they talk.
They are my favorite characters.
They are sketch characters. Like I felt like those characters were being played by Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. Like they might as well have been like SNL characters.
They were. I wrote down. Oh, I want to talk about the Bunk he's like getting her passport so they can like leave the country again. Don't really understand why they need those.
Just fly out of the country, you crazy flying vampire.
I don't understand why a baby needs a passport either. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Yeah, no, but babies need a passport.
There was a great thing. Did you see that Jacob's fake name?
No,
was Jacob Wolf.
No.
Yes.
No way.
On his new passport?
Yeah, his new thing was Jacob Wolf. I feel like that was a prop master just going, yeah, Jacob Wolf.
What are you talking about? That is
Jacob
crazy.
Wolf was my favorite. I was so excited to see that.
And Renesmee, crazy.
Hybrid baby.
crazy CGI baby.
She's CGI for a. I mean, she's. I know we talked about it, but she.
An hour plus is a CGI child.
And, like, even when she's playing the piano, it's like, when are they going to, like, just.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't they just. Yeah, all right.
Why? I mean, everybody. The movie is. Like, Peter Facinelli, what's his name?
Yeah.
Peter Facinelli, whatever his name is.
He's the head of the Cullen clan.
Carlisle Cullen, who's, like, the dad of the Cullen clan. He looks terrible.
No, yeah, this
his hair is insane.
Why did these vampires...
Why do they make him blonde?
Every vampire decides to bleach their hair.
He is a handsome man.
Even in the Game of Thrones style era,
yeah,
they
the
all
girls
have
are all blonde. Yeah.
I don't understand. He is a handsome man. Why does he need to be have fake blonde hair? And like,
maybe he'd be too much handsome.
I don't know. I couldn't figure that out. Because that's the thing. I remember I read Twilight Book 1.
Yeah.
And that was the thing about the Cullens, is that they were so beautiful. They were all like so beautiful.
Yeah, I think they're going for like a, on him, like a kind of like, you know, but it Flash look, Gordon kind of
it
look.
It doesn't look
like
good on his skin.
It looks terrible.
It
looks
well, like his skin's pale too.
That's the thing. Is
pale
they give them,
skin and blonde hair
they give
is
them
not
fake
sexy.
Blonde hair and fake pale skin, and they look like they look pasty and terrible.
I like what they said about the little girl that she, you know, they're speculating that she can't be immortal because she has blood and she has rosy cheeks. And then the one the one vampire screams, "Artifice!" I've never heard the word artifice spoken in anger before. It was awesome.
Yeah.
When Alice and that guy that she hangs out with, when they show
Julian?
Julian, when they show up at the final battle,
yeah.
And by final battle, we should say that it happens halfway through the movie and is the rest of the movie,
yes,
except for the montage at the
end. Which is great.
And it's really cool.
It's a really solid battle. But and that's the thing is like, so basically what happens is just to get there, you know, like the Volturis are coming. They're going to kill Renesmee. The Cullens assemble warriors
18
from
18 people.
Yeah, 18 vampires.
A ragtag gang.
A ragtag gang from all over the world.
The John Varvatos vampire is my favorite. That's a New Orleans vampire. That's who is that guy?
Lee Pace.
Lee Pace.
Oh, Lee Pace is
my
great.
My favorite.
I loved Alistair. What's his name? Who's scruffy and has great clothes?
Yes.
They've it's got so weird. They suddenly have all these great characters in the fifth movie.
Yes.
And
oh
they,
yeah.
Like,
why wait? Why did wait? And why that last movie? Why was it so intimate and boring? Boring.
You
so
could
like
have,
they could
because,
have gotten to some of this shit in that
this
movie.
Is that movie. By the way, this is the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Remember, this is.
I know it's a two-parter.
That's
but they could have just made the
that
movie
could have been so short. Yeah.
First half hour.
Oh,
of this movie could have been the whole. First
oh, we didn't need
any of that.
So the last movie was so fucking stupid because it was stalling.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Harry
so
Potter it worked here. It did not.
So it becomes a. Oh my god, I loved. Okay, let's not get into that. So, oh my god, but that's the one point I wanted to make was that Michael Sheen's left-hand man is totally Draco Malfoy.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, every bad guy needs a henchman who is, like, bleached blonde and, like,
he's the one
Weasley.
That yells artifice.
Yeah, he's the one that yells artifice, yeah. Anyway, so the whole movie is the lead-up to this battle where the Cullens have their 18 vampires and all of the werewolves.
Yes.
And they're going to fight on this chessboard, on this expanse
big
of snow. They're going to fight the Volturis who have come. And for the first 10 minutes, it is just talking.
It's a lot of talking, and there's a lot of, like, hey, look, you think that she's this, let's communicate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, this stuff should have been settled over the phone.
Yeah.
But by the way, this
and there's
is
a lot of wordless communication. There's a lot of communicating done between people by just touching each other.
Yes. Oh, by the way, that's what I wanted to say about the girl. The girl, Renesmee, Nessie or whatever her name is, she...
Oh, you gave my daughter a nickname?
No, it's worse. It's worse. You gave my daughter a nickname for the Loch Ness Monster?
Oh,
is what she immediately says the first time he says Nessa. Like, that's what you jumped to when you gave her the fucked up Renesmee name to begin with.
Yeah.
Nessie is a little bit nicer. I like Nessie.
Oh,
but you named him after the Loch Ness Monster.
That's
she screams at him.
You know what's weird is that the Cullen's mother is named Esme.
Yeah, so that's why it's in there, I think.
So it's is this so,
but
another?
I don't know. There's
like
another character named Renee.
Is this like Renesmee, like as
Renesmee,
like Esme again.
Renesmee.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, this is confounding.
I think it's just they named it.
Well, they keep on saying about
sort of after her.
Well, they keep on saying with Renesmee, they're like, this is how she communicates, by touching someone in the face and they see the images in her head.
They see that she's not, what they see is they all go, she always, to prove she's not an immortal.
Yes.
So like, what is she showing them
that
proves she's not an immortal?
What I was going to say is, what is she doing when
she
touches their faces?
Yeah. and also,
why don't we ever understand?
And why does she ever say talk to the hand?
When Alice has a vision, we go in and we see Alice's vision.
She don't see what Renesmee, only once.
We did when?
When she touch Bella's face for the first time.
Oh, I missed that.
And she sees the first memory of Bella giving birth to her.
Oh,
but meanwhile, they go, this is how she communicates.
Oh, that must be what she shows. Well, no, that still doesn't prove whether she's immortal or not.
No, yeah. Well, to me, I feel like she also can speak. She talks a lot throughout the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's not the way she communicates.
She's a real fucking chatterbox.
Yeah.
She's just showing people stuff.
All right, so they get the one other thing.
Like Zafrina takes Edward to Pandora at one point.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
The Avatar world. I love that the Volturi, they come out in March, and all I want to talk about is that they are in such a long line. I just wonder how long they were in that line. Like, okay, so we're going to get to this field, guys. We need to look impressive. So really spread out. Really? Yeah. Like, they did not come in a tight group. They are so spread out. I would say, like, they're like three city blocks long.
It looks like there's four walking. Times as many of them when they're approaching and when they're talking. But then when the fighting starts, it's kind of a one-on-one battle.
Yeah, it's not too
hard. There's never two people ganging up on one person for the most part.
Maybe one of their...
Except for the good guys. The good guys are better at teaming up and making shit happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, Kristen Stewart develops this...
Shield power,
where she's like, so she's individually shielding people instead of she's the strongest person there. Yeah. She should be fighting instead of standing there staring at someone else, trying to keep them
intently staring at them, while so that she can protect them from. It's so
learn
stupid.
To do them both at the same
By
time.
By the way, here's the other thing: is like they set up all of these characters having superpowers that are pretty interesting, which never get used.
No,
like Black Smoke guy never uses Black Smoke fight.
He starts to use the black smoke
and Michael Sheen's like no, not now.
And I don't even really know what that black smoke does.
Electricity girl
to
never
anyway.
Zaps somebody.
It blinds them and disorients. They're like blinded and they can't move or something.
And like no, they introduced
like
all
Dakota
of these people
Fanning
with great.
Elle Fanning.
Yes, I liked that. Oh, which one was it? I think
Elle
it was Dakota.
Oh, it was Dakota.
Oh, Dakota.
Yeah,
she's like pain.
Yeah, and that person experiences pain. Yeah, I liked that too. But
I thought she said Bane.
Bane.
And then Robert Pattinson falls down.
Gotham will fall. You, I must fight the vampire.
Oh, I was going to say, when Allison, what's his name, show up to that battle scene, when they're all standing around, when they show up, it takes them like 30 seconds to walk across the snow. We watch them walk so far. Why are
they can walk
that
fast.
Same character in a scene in the beginning of the movie goes, voom, to get to her from across the living room.
Yeah.
But when they're that far away, let's walk it. Let's keep it dramatic. This is like the Academy Awards. We're coming out to
make a real entrance.
By the way, I this is where I got really fed up with the movie because I was like, are you kidding me? I feel like every movie I see, it's like, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. And there's no battle.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this what's going to happen? There's not going to be a battle. They walk across a thing. They convince the main bad guy. They go, hey, guess what? You were wrong. And he's like, okay, yeah, I was wrong. And then, watch out. The battle that you've been waiting for explodes, and it starts with one of the best.
And it's better than any of the, like, because in the previous Twilight movies, when things start to seem to get action-y, they were always just like wolves running around and jumping.
And poorly shot.
And nobody's actually getting killed.
No.
And in this movie, suddenly, all of these characters are getting their heads torn off.
The first moment is, you know, Michael Sheen and Peter Facinelli running at each other. They jump in the air, and then fucking Michael Sheen just rips his head off midstream.
Yeah. Oh, no, Michael, no, Michael.
They start
Sheen.
By walking slowly at each other, though. Yeah. And then they suddenly both decide to speed up.
Yeah, Michael Sheen lands.
Yeah.
Raises up, and he's holding Peter Facinelli's head.
And you're like, whoa!
That was when I was
okay,
like,
okay, so
oh,
now we're into
shit.
Some heavy spoiler
so
shit.
So now let's spoil it
he's
up.
He's the first one to go.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably because he looks so weird
and
with that blonde hair.
Yes, I think and his wife is distraught.
Yes. Well, everyone's distraught because their leader has just been killed. So now it's like, all right.
The gloves are
but
off.
What we should say before that happens.
Yes.
Because we're just going to give everything away, right?
Yeah,
we're
going to
give
it away. Nothing
before that happens, that Alice does the long walk up with the other guy, with Schmengi.
Yeah.
And then they get there. Julian. Close. And then she says she's got the ability to, like, she can, you know,
she can
see the future and show people the future by holding their hand.
Well, Michael Sheen's power to hold hands and see what's in
to
their
brain. To
see
what the future is in their brain.
She had
see what's
something.
In her mind. In her mind, it happens to be the future.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So she goes up to him and she's like, let me prove to you that we do not need to fight today, that everything's going to be cool, that this girl is not going to grow up and be a problem. You know, and then she takes his hand.
Holds his hand.
And then they continue to talk for a little bit. And then she, like, steps away from him. And she turns and looks at everybody and says, now. Like, she's, like, you know, decided that this will be a great moment to just everybody suddenly pounce.
Well, she says to him, you don't, it doesn't care what you see, you're not going to change your mind.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're not going to change your mind anyway. Your mind
anyway.
Which is a badass
then
move.
She turns around and says, now.
She kind of whisper mouth now even though they're all standing really far away.
The other thing is, people whisper to each other from hundreds of yards away.
Well, yeah, they even have conversations way across that
so far
that
from
field.
Each other. Anyway, so then she does that. She says, now. And then she totally badass kicks Michael Sheen in the face.
Oh, yes.
And he goes, I thought this was awesome.
It's really cool. Amazing. It's really cool. And it sets off this amazing battle sequence where pretty much almost all the major characters, except for Bella and Edward and Jacob the wolf, by the way, as soon as they start the fight, or they're about to, runs off with Renesmee on his back. So he runs off.
Because that's the plan.
I don't understand. This is when the big battle sequence, like when wolves are dying and stuff, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like, I have no connection.
Yeah, I don't know which one that's supposed to be. I think he just sort of recruited a bunch of kids that we don't know.
He did,
for the
but
most
there was
part.
Also Leah and Seth and his friend wolves were there.
I was even laughing because thinking about how, what's his name, the actor that plays Jacob,
Taylor Lautner,
about
who, by
how,
the way, has gotten better.
About, sure, but he's, the character's annoying. Yeah. It's not necessarily his fault, but he's always smiling and those super white teeth, and it's just like, what the fuck are you doing here? And
an Abercrombie model.
Like when he shows up when hangs out with Renesmee at the dad's house, Charlie's not like, why? We don't need the fucking Wolfman hanging around.
No, this is the bane of their existence. Bella and Edward are in love. They have a child, and they ought to be followed by this fucking dummy.
Edward's
lives.
Always just kind of shaking his head
Jacob. The presumption is that when Renesmee is of age, she will be his.
Well, is that the thing? Because I mean, at the end,
that seems to be what's happening at the end.
So, because he says to Jacob, he goes, "Can I call you dad?"
Yeah,
and he's like, "No."
But basically, and then Alice's premonition is that Renesmee is all grown up, and like she and Jacob and Bella and Edward are a foursome.
Yeah,
like are a quartet. And I was like,
by the way,
Jacob is blasting this little girl.
And by the way, Jacob doesn't age. Like, Jacob in that flash forward is not older, so does Wolf not age? I don't know.
Well, it's not that long of a flash forward.
Yeah, because
she grew up to
so
as big as she's going to be
in 7 years.
Within a couple years.
By age 7.
Like, in the end credits, it says 7-year-old Renesmee, and it's played by and that's some girl. They didn't go crazy with the CGI on
that
adult
girl.
But she did look like creepily like an older version of her.
Wait, that wasn't a CGI head? I thought that was a CGI head.
I don't think so. Some actress gets credit.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a CGI head.
But it could be some actress. It was just standing there, and they put a CGI face on her. But it's a very impressive fight scene. Almost nothing really to make fun of.
No, it's
in the fight
great.
Itself. It's like, really well done.
I mean, like we
it's
said, good. The head. I mean, head rips galore. I mean, you think you're gonna get tired of it? You don't get tired of it. There's a chasm. People are falling.
Ooh, I loved, and it perfectly and it is. I mean, like it really is a chess scene.
Yeah,
because the pawns go first.
Yeah,
you know, like it. I mean, obviously a big sacrifice with Carlisle Cullen, but then the people that start getting killed are like pawns, are like lesser.
There's
people.
A point where Michael Sheen's just standing with his main henchman, just watching everything happen.
Yeah,
like not even participating.
Exactly.
Like, why wouldn't Edward or Bella run at that guy? Let's kill that guy first.
That was kind of the issue. It just seemed like, come on, guys.
But see, I liked it. I liked that you had lots of little battles with not that interesting people that were still cool.
And just
and
violent.
Then, like, real people started getting killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Dakota Fanning gets it pretty bad.
Dakota Fanning, I think, is my favorite character. She just is so fucking evil in this movie.
Oh, totally.
She says, like, two words, too. And I like Dakota
Fanning. I thought
Fanning
she was good. But then
it's weird this movie series came into its own now.
Yeah.
And it's a little late.
In the last 30 minutes, it's like, yes.
I loved the guy, because you also think, like, these guys have been alive for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
I loved the one guy that they come and they kill the one guy who's, like, the older vampire.
Yeah.
And he says something like, at last. Like,
he wants to die. Take me apart.
He wants to die so bad, and he just can't be killed.
Yeah.
So they kill him, and he just says, at last. And then die. I was like, that's great.
He wanted to die because he had a real Michael Bolton thing going on. And people teased him all the time.
What happened to those other, the vampires we like, the weird ethnic ones, where they're like, they just kind of went catatonic in their castle for a long time? Is that what they said? They go,
who?
The two, you know, the frickin' frack of the vampires. What were their names?
The
Vladimir
Russians?
And Stefan?
Yeah, Vladimir and Stefan. Those two were like, we just hung out in our castles in a catatonic state until they burnt our castles down. Like that.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. And they said,
they sat very still.
And they said they probably did us a favor. Yeah, they were prisoners in their castles, and then their castles were set on fire.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, they probably did us a favor because that's what motivated us to come now and try to kill them.
Yeah.
They go, we're going to return the favor. And it's like, well, that's not return it. It wasn't a favor, and why would you return it?
So stupid.
So they should have said something about paying it forward.
The fight scene is amazing, and I'm laughing, I'm psyched. It's like
the beach at Normandy in the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. It is fucking intense.
I love it.
It's really entertaining. And then
guess what?
It's so great and such a burn at the same time. I was elated and fucking angry.
I was furious
simultaneously. But it was pretty cool the way it tricked you.
Yes. At the point where literally everybody is dead and Michael Sheen is killed.
They rip off his head, they burn him alive. That's
Bella
the moment.
And Edward kill him.
The last shot of the battle is a close-up of his face, seeing in his eyes we can see the torch coming to burn his decapitated head.
It's great.
Because it's like a chicken, probably. You're probably alive for a few seconds after you get your head torn off.
And then it pulls out really quick and we are revealed to be... Go ahead.
That it is all just in that moment where they held hands. Where was her name?
Alice
and Michael Sheen were holding hands.
She's still holding his hand.
So she
showed him what would have happened if he decided to have the fight.
The entire battle is her premonition of what would happen.
Exactly. What would happen.
It didn't really happen.
And everyone's alive.
Who shot JR?
She's got an amazing premonition to show the guy every different possible angle of the fight.
Oh, yeah.
every person that got killed. Like, why not just show him, you're going to get your head ripped off if you do this right now.
I will say that as much as it is like a crazy twist, that I kind of liked it in the sense it's like, it's what you want. It's like, you get to see everyone in the movie get killed and everybody
I was pretty happy that they were all getting killed.
I was like,
this is some heavy fucking shit.
I was blown away, kind of bummed
that they're now they're not really
exactly.
dead. Except for the one girl that they kill before the fighting begins.
Maggie Grace.
Is she ever going to be in anything where she isn't killed or kidnapped or attempted?
Maggie Grace cannot catch a break.
Maggie Grace fucked up because she just saw something on a cliff and she deserved the death.
Did she jump in the ocean?
Yeah. And she swam back.
Yeah, why? She can also fly away.
Like, to me, though, this is the most flawed thing
about
the movie.
She's wearing great clothes. Why not just run home?
The most flawed thing about this movie is simply that Maggie Grace sees Renesmee catch a piece of snow, a snowflake.
Yeah, she flies up into the air and gets a snowflake.
Exactly. And she makes the assumption, without any knowledge whatsoever, that this is an immortal child or what, a bad kid, and then runs back, tells Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen's like, okay, let's go kill him.
Yeah.
She doesn't even tell him. She just shows up and he like touches her hand and goes, we got to go take care of this.
Now, meanwhile, all of this could have been averted if she just hung around and said, hey, is that an immortal kid?
If anybody in this movie would just have a conversation.
They even yell to her. They're like, Irina! Hey!
Yeah, they're, come on.
Let us explain.
Oh, who is that?
Oh, I got to jump in the water.
I think it's our cousin Irina.
Yeah, they have this super eyesight, but they're standing there going, who could that be?
By the way, being a vampire, you get to experience it firsthand when Bella's first turn in the beginning. You miss this, Jason. It just seems kind of annoying. Everything just zooms in, like really intense. Like you look at a bed, and it's like, boom, boom, and you see like the thread count.
God.
You look at the floor, boom, boom, and you see like every, like, it's like, I don't want that. That seems a little bit too much.
No, thank you.
How she could find when the clue was in the book. That's how she found that particular book so fast.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Like, I was like, there's books everywhere in this house.
How is she going to
find that book? I couldn't believe how many books there were. At first, I was thinking, why would they need so many books? And I thought, they are immortal, so that's probably a good hobby to read.
We didn't really
read
everything. The book, but the book is whatever.
Yeah, Alice leaves a clue and a book, and it's...
Yeah, who cares? It's not important.
It's kind of a cute little...
But it's all a flash forward. Everyone leaves alive, and everyone goes off to have a very happy life.
I wanted to tell the listeners that, because if anyone's thinking... Because we're talking about how great the battle sequence is, if anyone started thinking, oh, wow, they really did it, I'm going to go see a good Twilight movie.
Yeah.
No, you're going to still see the same crazy stuff for the most part that you've avoided through the last four.
Yeah.
And this one, you may be just livid when you find out that all these characters didn't actually die.
I loved that they were dying.
I loved it too. I was like, this is badass that
they are killing
really fucking killing all these
but
people.
But don't you like, I felt like I left the theater more psyched. liked it. I went home. I was like, yeah, that was good.
And how long do you think they pull off that in the last book?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Do you think it's page after page of all these people getting killed in this amazing battle, and turns out she was still holding ends with Arrow?
I feel like that would be, in a book form, it would be more of a fuck you, because I feel like there's more time.
Oh my God, yes.
Whereas this, like, because you, I mean, I felt it when Peter Facinelli got his head ripped off. I was like, oh no, not him.
Oh yeah.
Wait, when did you cry?
Oh,
yeah.
I cried in the battle sequence when somebody died, where somebody was watching somebody die, and I got like choked up for a second. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Alice was watching.
Alice watches Julian die.
Yeah.
Right? But no, then she's trying to go after, oh fuck, what was it? It was when people were falling into the crevice that ethnic guy creates when he punches the earth.
The guy that can
control the elements.
Control
the elements. And people were falling into that thing, and I got like choked up when, who fell in and somebody was watching somebody they love.
When the wolf was falling backwards and was going, oh,
I did.
Yeah.
That was sad. Dying. I got sad. Oh,
it
yeah.
would make it 10 times better if we knew who that wolf was. I don't know. I
just, which like, wolf was it?
I don't know who the wolf was. But that is when I got like emotional, was during that sequence of the fight.
Yeah.
When people were falling into the thing and people were watching the people they loved die.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, it was her watching Julian die, and then somebody else watching someone else they loved die. I was like, whoa, I got bummed.
I did like that. I guess, yeah, look, life.
But
real fragile.
It's super fragile.
I did like that.
Totes fragile, guys. Totes fragile.
And when I alluded to it earlier, it was Michael Sheen's head that was really hard to rip off. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They really struggled with that head. That was a
We're going to get this wrencher. Thing. Is it righty tighty, lefty loosey? For people that are thinking that still haven't seen it, listen to all of this and are still thinking about going, just to let you know how easy it'll go down. The opening titles are 3 minutes long and the ending titles are 15 minutes long.
Yes, it's a
if you
big.
Get up and leave as soon as the end titles start, although you'll miss a funny thing. They go back and show Anna Kendrick from and she's telling the guy staying next to her he's got something on his lip.
Yeah.
It like doesn't fit. It's like such a comedic little
that?
Grace note in the middle of this very serious In Memoriam montage.
Telenovela.
Yeah, and it's so the total credits on the movie, 18 minutes of the movie is devoted to credits.
Wow.
And the movie is less than 2 hours long.
Yes.
By a few minutes.
So you're basically watching, I mean, you're really just watching about an hour and 40
minute movie. You just have to watch some silly setup that's got some interesting moments.
Come late like Jason did. And by the way,
he missed a good part, though.
I did miss the almost eating
the power hug.
And the power hug.
And almost eating a hiker.
It is worth it.
And when she pounces on a cougar, starts to, I was going to say this. I love that they got PETA off their back. Because she's looking at a deer and thinking about eating that because she's got her bloodthirst.
Right.
And then a cougar comes out of nowhere and is about to get the deer.
Is it Samantha from Sex and the City?
She saves the deer by pouncing on and eating the cougar.
Oh, yeah.
But it's pretty sweet seeing cute Kristen Stewart just dive on a cougar and start macking on its neck it's going, "Arr!" It's like clearly
cool. In like a tight balloon dress. Like,
she even kind of does like a take, like she's for a second, she's like, "Is this can I really do this? Okay."
Oh, wow.
It.
Yeah,
I will
it's say pretty that cool. I've never really found Kristen Stewart to be like super sexy. I found this movie, she really like stepped it up a notch. They kind of like really like,
well, the thing is,
she's always been cute, but she's also 18, is maybe why you don't.
Yeah,
maybe,
we've also talked about this in the past of like Bella in the previous movies has been absolutely powerless to the men in her life.
Yeah.
Like they dominate her. And in this movie,
this is her Snow White and the Huntsman.
It really is. And you know what's so creepy about it? Is that it is like the story is basically, once you get married and give yourself to a man sexually and he turns you into a vampire, then you can be a strong woman.
Yeah.
Before that, no. Do whatever the men are telling you to do. But once you get married, you are a strong woman.
Stronger than all the men.
Yeah, stronger than all the men.
She's physically stronger than all the men.
She beats Kellan
Lutz. She's mentally stronger. She's like,
Like, her superpowers.
She always knows what to do and why to do it.
When she does do that arm wrestling thing, which is such a funny, like, over the top, weird moment. Literally over the top. Then I just love that she's like you said this, Doug, she starts beating up that rock. Like, yeah! Blah, 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 and she's like, it starts jackhammering a rock. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, yeah! Like, so weird.
She's very, very excited about her powers in this. And of course, you don't have to sit through the credits because since there's no more movies, theoretically, I think there will be more movies. When they're saying that it's definitely over.
Really?
Even if What's-Her-Name doesn't want to write them, Stephenie Meyer, there's so many characters in that movie that would be a great movie
Lee Pace. Lee Pace is an interesting... I bet they do a TV series.
Something.
So that they don't have to have Kristen Stewart or Robert
But if they
Pattinson.
Did another movie, it could be Renesmee, who's a hot young girl.
Yes. Tell me more.
You know, hire some actress to play her. Yeah.
Oh, great.
But there's no... there was two wacky scenes at the end of the last one that you had to sit through the credits to see. But in this case, just get up and leave after you see Anna Kendrick is what I think. Or stay until you see Kristen Stewart. It's like watching the bows at the end of a really long play.
It was kind of fun to watch everybody get out.
I wish the audience would have clapped for the ones they liked. The crowd we saw with was kind of stiff on that. But they should have done, at the very end, just a scene of... Not what's his name? Not Tom Skerritt on a boat.
Oh,
catching a trout.
That would have been amazing.
And what if
like catching a trout? We're having so much fun. I wonder what they're doing right now. Or something.
It would even be better if he catches a trout and then Michael Sheen just flies in and rips off his head and then flies out.
That would have been awesome.
That would have
too.
Been a great twist. Maybe that's a spinoff.
I did think Billy there Burke, was going to be a
Billy Burke and his Native American wife on fishing trips.
That's just it.
That's it.
The woman knows her trout. He says.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the movie.
Jacob made Renesmee a friendship bracelet, too. I thought that was really beautiful and sweet.
So that's the thing. At the end of the movie, everybody's okay, and Alice has a vision. We see Alice's vision of the future, and it's Edward and Bella who are going to be together forever, they say.
Yeah.
And then it's a grown Renesmee and Jacob. And the presumption is that he is... just stone cold bone zoning this little girl. Yeah.
I don't know if that's there, but I appreciate it.
They're just hanging out. No, because he said, "Can I call you dad?"
Yeah.
And then Jacob goes, "No." Because he's like, he's going to eventually be married to him. That's why I think it was so creepy when he imprinted on the kid.
Now, isn't that like a weird... I might say something very inflammatory right now. Is this like a weird Mormon, like kind of like you are betrothed to someone? Is this like a Mormon thing that is being appropriated for this mythology? Is this truly just craziness?
I think it was in a way to keep these people together.
He could still be just watching over her. He has to watch over her for the rest of his life.
Jacob dad.
Just because he's making a stupid joke.
Right.
You know, like we're all a family now. You know what I mean? Like you guys are the parents, sort of.
Guys, hit up the Earwolf forums and let us know.
Let us know what you think about this. I'm sure people are going to write really long
I feel like Twilight people must know.
I'm kind of getting weird about maybe wanting to read the books. Because that was also an interesting...
The books are terrible.
I bet they are, but that was an interesting... But they're probably simple and easy for someone like
me to
read.
They're so easy to read.
But I think that...
I read the first two.
I like the way they worked in pages of the book at the end.
Yeah,
and, I did like
and little passages, and especially like the very last line from the books appears on the screen.
I like that.
Like
too.
You know, the little girls or anyone, grown women, who love those books.
It was like forever.
It's such a
everybody
such a
fucking
good,
creamed their jeans.
A good ending.
Yeah,
I was the same way about Dark Knight Rises. You know,
I
didn't love it all the way through, but I found that ending very emotionally
very
satisfying.
Wait. The Michael Caine in the restaurant ending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it's ridiculous.
Oh, see, I didn't like that very much.
Really?
You know what I wished? I just wished we had stayed on Michael Caine smiling and not reversed and seen
that like
they
then
were
you'd
there.
Know. Because seeing them doing that, why would those two characters just sit around at a cafe? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, they're not an old fucking man who's glad to not be a butler for a...
Exactly.
A lot of people say that was his vision. It was not a real moment.
What do you mean?
Yeah, people argue that's just what he was kind of imagining he was seeing.
See.
Like,
that Batman is really dead.
What? No, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That goes against every...
By the way,
spoiler
alert on Batman The Dark Knight Rises.
That's crazy.
I think we're late enough on that one.
Yes.
That, one should be mad at
us. By the way, I will say this. If you want to read books, read the Hunger Games books, because those books
they get so bad.
Are great.
They're so bad. After
Book three is not great, but it is still...
Book three is awful.
All three books of Hunger Games are a billion times better than the Twilight books.
Okay, well, that's a...
That might be true, but the Hunger Games movies can only get better from the first one.
Agreed.
The first one didn't really get it done, I didn't think.
The plots get wonky. They get really wonky.
I feel the guy they got to do the first one wasn't the man.
I actually think the director of this, Bill Condon or whatever, did a great job. That fight scene was one of the best because again they cheap out on action.
It was cool, but they do a lot. It's a weird movie. I mean, he did direct the fact that there were all these weird scenes with the weird melodramatic music in the background.
So much CGI.
Yeah,
so,
and, like, I mean, crazy. And like they didn't go outside to shoot this movie.
There's so many moments in this movie that you're just sort of like there doesn't. Even need to be CGI.
No,
watch that be real footage. Watch that be real. And
I love stuff like when the group of vampires that are coming to visit and they're all happy. They all come flying down the they come shooting in from the woods really fast, and then they go to regular speed and then walk like the last why are they super speeding all the way to their destination? Like, why do they do that? It's so weird.
I also thought that you were talking about incorporating the book. They do incorporate the book, and sometimes poorly. Like, they just take, like, obviously a passage from the book where Bella's talking about what she's thinking and stuff, and they just kind of drop it in as, like...
Oh, V.O.?
V.O.
Yeah.
But it's not like V.O. that you're used to in a movie. It's like...
Yeah, because it doesn't start at the beginning.
Yeah. No,
it's just like a random
middle.
Pop in nowhere.
Somebody
like,
said, we got to explain what's going on here.
So this is confusing. We had friends come from all over to help
like,
us.
Like, wait a second. When there's V.O. in the middle... It really is just one moment in the movie there's a VO for no reason.
No, there's two. And I noticed that there's two moments of VO that are like, and by the way, you didn't need them.
You didn't need them at all.
She's explaining stuff we just saw happen.
Yeah.
The best line of them all might have been when she says to Jacob, you think you have some sort of moronic wolfy claim on her?
She was so angry at Jacob. Because
he's annoying. But she should have been angry at him in every other movie. Like, go away. Yeah. Like, I'm with this other guy.
But the thing that's weird is that Jacob now isn't interested in Bella at all because he only wants to bone zone the baby.
He's just watching out for her.
We understand why Bella was attracted to him in the last movie because it was... Yeah, Renesmee kind of
there was a moment.
Her junk stimulated.
Yeah. There was a moment where she was treating him like he was... The father.
Well, guys, I think we did it. Sad not to have June here. I'm sure.
I feel like June needs to come in for a mini episode.
I almost
just
feel like,
to talk about this.
I feel like talk about
what we said about it.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that last night. I was like, I want to have her just watch it and then come in and just record. And add this as an addendum. So maybe that will.
But we all said that Bella's very strong in this one and finally does things that she should have been doing all along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that I'm very excited to. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I am definitely going to do a Benson movie interruption.
I'd see it again anyway. We already did one back in the day
because it comes. Last year's came out at Thanksgiving also. So then in January, because essentially with the big movies, we have to kind of wait for them to be hit second run theaters, and then we can rent it from the studio for a reasonable price, and then sit there and make fun of it. So if you're in LA.
Gotta check it out.
You can maybe,
one of my
you
favorite
maybe,
shows in LA.
You can maybe wait. You can maybe wait for...
that's a good call.
And see it that way.
That's not bad.
It's so good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll try to get you guys to participate.
I'll see it again. All right, that is our episode. We will see you all soon. All right, bye.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hot off the press from Maybelline New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.